Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. Vance Havner, in his book, Rest a While, said, in the New Testament family album, there are three names that begin with the same letter, and they stand out as typical of three kinds of Christians today. First was Demas, whom Paul said, he hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And then there's a gentleman in the name by the name of Diotrephes. He's found in 3 John. And he loved to have the preeminence, John said. Not much could get done in that church because there was Diotrephes who loveth to have the preeminence among them and would not even receive the apostles in Jesus' name. But there was another man also in 3 John whose name was Demetrius. He hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. So, three men. Demas, he forsook Paul. He loved the present, he forsook the ministry that Paul was involved in. And then Diotrephes, who loved to have their preeminence. Not much can get done there because of selfish interest, but thank God for Demetrius. He loved the truth and held to the truth. The New Testament tells about a man whose name was Stephen, one of the early deacons. He was maybe the first martyr of the church, at least one of them. He was a man set apart by the church to meet the needs of others, physical needs of others. He ministered to the necessities of saints. And his life, death story, actually, is wrapped up in Acts chapter 7. And it says in verse 59, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was faithful in life. He was faithful in death. He kept the faith. He remained faithful to the Lord. That's the thesis of my message today. If you have your Bibles open, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we saw last week the fear of the apostle. He was afraid of something, specifically two things. He was afraid that when he would come to visit these believers at Corinth, his third visit coming up to them, he would find them not as he wanted to find them. Notice verse 20 of chapter 12, I fear lest when I come I shall not find you. I need to restate what I just said. I fear lest when I come I shall not find you like I would. That was his first fear. I hope to find you, he's thinking here, I'm sure in his mind that he's saying, I hope to find you faithful. I hope to find you busy in the work of the Lord. I hope when I come, I will not be disappointed. But, he said, and that I should, here's the second fear. Number one, I fear that I should not find you as I would. Secondly, that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. So, twofold fear. I'm going to find you not the way you'd like me to find you. Secondly, I'm going to find you not the way I would like to find you. And he mentioned some of the things in verse 20 we saw last week, some of the things that he was afraid he might find because of what he knew, debates, envyings, and wraths and strifes and backbitings and whisperings and swellings and tumults, all of those things that certainly should not characterize believing people. Well, notice what he says in chapter 13. Let's drop down to verse 5 with me. I want to talk about the faith. We talked about his fear last week. I want to talk about the faith of the apostle. The faith. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We are glad when we are weak, you are strong. This also we wish even your perfection. Therefore write I these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss, and all the saints salute you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So that's his final words. We're going to just take up that thought that he gives us in verse 5 this afternoon. Examine yourselves. This is what he wants folks to do. And so in the light of his fear, he talks about in verse 5 of chapter 13, the faith. And kind of gives us an antidote for what he dreads he might find in chapter 12, verse 20. All these divisions, all these wars and whisperings and swellings, tumults. He says, rather than that, here's what you should do. Here's what we ought to do. And let's get a hold of this today because we need it just as much as the church at Corinth. The church of the 21st century needs to hear this message today desperately. So we need to examine ourselves. Two things in this text I want to talk about this afternoon. Very briefly, very simply, two things. Number one, examine ourselves. He tells us what to do. He says, turn the spotlight of the Word of God upon yourself. Try, test, with the idea of approving. Not so much of disapproving ourselves, but allowing the Lord to put us under the scrutiny of His Word so that we can be found faithful. The question is not what we've done, but what we're doing. The question is not where we've been, but where we're headed, where we're going today. So this is a present tense thing. You examine yourself. And it's good to know that we can do that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, before we take the Lord's table, but let a man examine himself. We don't have a council of examination. We don't have a committee before whom we have to pass. We don't have judges before whom we answer, but we have the judge. But we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Word of God as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. So we can examine ourselves, and we must, we should. We're told to. This is a command. You do it to you. We don't have to go before the committee. Don't have to have the deacons or the pastor. I thank God for that. We would be faulty judges. We look on the outward appearance, and God sees the heart, but we would certainly err in our judgment if we were to judge, and we do too much of this anyway, judging other people. We're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to do it. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. What judgment you judge, it shall be meted out unto you again. So we would do well if we would cease from judging or not start judging other people, but we would do well to examine ourselves. The Bible says it. How do we do this? Notice he says, whether ye be in the faith, this is the standard for our judgment. Are you going to be approved today as you come under the spotlight of the Word of God on this issue? This is what we're going to be held accountable for. Are we faithful? Have we held the faith? Are we in the faith? Examine yourself whether you be in not just faith, but in the faith. It's like Jude when he said, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. He's talking about a body of truth. Not an experience, but fact. Not something nebulous, but something real and concrete. Something you can get around and get a hold of. It's the faith. It was once delivered to the saints. It's recorded in the Word of God. It's given in a body of Scripture. It's a canon. There's a canon. There's a standard of judgment. We don't have to wonder what the faith is. It's been once for all delivered to the saints by the Holy Spirit, through holy men of God who wrote as they were inspired, moved by the Holy Ghost. So it's the faith once delivered. And it's that standard that we will be judged by. Are we faithful to the faith? Are we in the faith? Are we holding to the faith? It was Demas, Paul said, as I've alluded to in 2 Timothy chapter 4, who had departed from the faith, I think it says. Let's go to that passage. I don't want to misquote something that important. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you'll probably find it faster than I will because I'm just now getting there and I don't have my regular Bible. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So he's not... No. It's what I wanted in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is found up back up to verse 7. Notice what Paul said. I have fought a good fight. Here's another one of our standards. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept, class, the faith. What faith? The faith once for all delivered to the saints. He zealously guarded. He was devotedly guided by the faith. He preached the word, the faith. He delivered the word, the faith. He fought for and defended the faith. He gave his whole life to this end. And so when he came to the end of the road, and by the way, Peter says it this way in 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, speaking of the devil, your adversary, he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Whom, he said, resist steadfast in the faith. In the faith. In the faith. Not just in faith, but he said, in the faith resist. So we come to this body of truth that's once delivered. And Jude said it this way, by the way. In Jude verse 3, he said, it was needful for me to write you and exhort you. He said, I had to do this. First century had not even concluded. And Jude said, I felt I didn't set out to write this, he said. I was going to go a different direction entirely as I sat down. But he said, I found it was needful for me to write you and to exhort you that you should earnestly. Listen, if it were earnest, if it were needful that first century believers earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, you think it is for us today? I think so. Can't be passive. Can't be nonchalant. Can't be uncaring. We've got to be on our toes. We've got to diligently seek the Scriptures. We've got to be like the Berean saints of old. We've got to search the Scriptures daily, for in them we find the truth, the Word of life. So he said we need to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Let me give you a threefold test as you examine yourself this afternoon. Not looking to the person three rows up to your left. Not thinking about the person that's not here this afternoon that sure needed to hear this message, but thinking about you. Just little you. And you can examine your own heart today. Let me give you a couple things to test yourself by. Number one, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Test number one, are you by the grace of God an overcomer? Is He overcoming the world and the lust of the world and all that is? By the way, that's a passing away thing. The world passeth away. And the lust there, but whoever, 1 John chapter 2, verse 7, he says, whoever does the will of God abides forever. Boy, if you got your set sight on the world, and most of the world does, because that's what's popular, that's what's successful, that's what sells, that's what people buy, that's what people are consumed with, the world and the world system over which is ruled by the Antichrist, by the devil. He's the head of this world system, the small g god of the world. So we've got something to contend with. And it's a losing battle if we got our own strength. Unless we go out standing upon the Word of God and with the sword of the Spirit and with the all the armor that talks about Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, we will be overcome. But whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Oh, as I said this morning, the apostles prayed, and we ought also, Lord, increase our faith. We need to, and by the way, how do you get your faith increased? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just more time in the Word. More time in the Scriptures. Number two, test number two. Are you an overcomer? That's number one. Are you an overcomer? Examine yourselves, he said. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, you examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Well, if you're in the faith, number one, you're an overcomer. You're overcoming the world. Doesn't mean you get 100% victory every day. No, we're going to have setbacks. We will be defeated. We're going to get out there in the flesh sometimes and fall flat on our face. But our life is one that we're striving to be overcomers. And by the grace of God, we are overcoming the world. Number two, test number two. James chapter 2, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Faith without, even as the body without the spirit is dead, even so faith without works is dead also. So question number two, number one, are you an overcomer? Number two, are you a worker? James chapter 2, verse 17. If you are standing in the faith and steadfast in the faith and resisting the devil in the faith and overcoming the world by faith, you are also a worker for Jesus Christ. You're working. Because if you have just a dead faith, that's nothing, James says. It's nothing at all. Faith, if it has not works, is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, even so faith without works is just as dead as a doornail. So we need to be working if we're going to be overcoming. If we're going to be, if we examine ourselves for the idea of, say, Lord, I want you to turn the spotlight of Scripture upon me. I want the Holy Spirit to turn it upon me and show me, am I in the faith? Am I in the faith? I like Paul in 2 Timothy chapter, I don't want to be reprobate. What does that mean? Cast away. Set on the shelf. I don't want to be that. I want to be used of God like Stephen till I draw my last breath. I would like, as Stephen, to pray a prayer. Oh God, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Faithful, even to the end. Okay, number two. How's your works? Are you working for Christ? Not for self, not for just to put your time in, not for the applaud of men or the praise of men, but to glorify. There's a work for you to do. There's a work to be done. There is work. There's work of prayer. There's a work of witnessing. There's a work of praying. Praying is a work. The work of intercession for people. Oh my, people that never get to come to this church that would love to come if they could, but just can't because they're maybe shut in or sick and on beds of affliction. And they are working for the Lord every single day, some of these dear people, because they're involved in a ministry of intercession. You think that's not work? Try it for a day. Go tomorrow without eating and pray through the day tomorrow and see if it's work or not. It's work. So we need to work for the Lord Jesus. Don't give up. A dying soldier, ask a chaplain, to write his Sunday school teacher and tell her this. Tell her that I'm a Christian because of what she taught me in Sunday school. I bet that note could be passed on to thousands of Sunday school teachers from dying soldiers. They had an opportunity to get the message out. Would you go back home and tell my Sunday school teacher, tell my faithful mother, tell my aunt and uncle who were faithful and I watched them as I grew up and they were steadfast in the faith. Tell them this. I became a Christian because I saw Christ in them. The chaplain took that message to the teacher and he received the following reply from the teacher. Last month, I resigned my Sunday school class, for I felt my teaching had been fruitless. And then came the message from my former pupil. May God forgive me for my impatience and lack of faith. I will ask my pastor to let me teach again. And I promise by God's grace not to quit. Don't quit. Examine yourself. Are you a worker? You may not be recognized. You may not be appreciated. You may not be rewarded. Except in that which is to come. But God sees it. And you're impacting some life. Bus worker, Sunday school teacher, church time worker, wanna worker. Wherever God, whatever station God has given you, be faithful. Keep working. It's an evidence. You can work and not be in the faith, but you cannot be in the faith and not work for Jesus. There's a work to be done. Thirdly, here's the third test. Third test is 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. There's a simple threefold test. You can examine yourself. I pray you will. I pray you will this afternoon. Examine yourself and say, am I in the faith? Am I, as Paul said, I want to examine myself. And so here's the threefold examination. Am I overcoming by the blood of Jesus? Am I working? And thirdly, We know that we have passed from death to life if we love the brethren. That's it. Love the brethren. Do you love the brethren? Not just some brethren. Not just those that are lovely and lovable, but do you love the brethren? All brethren. Do you love people that aren't brethren? Certainly we ought to love the brethren, but we ought to love all men because Christ loved all men. So much so that He gave us salvation through His death on the cross because His love was unconditional. His love is universal. His love is incomprehensible, yes. Oh, God so loved the world. Now, if we have God in our heart, we cannot help but love the brethren. And we cannot help but love the people that are not brethren. We love the world because God loves the world through us. We just are channels of His love. So, we need to ask ourselves, are we loving the brethren? Threefold test. Let me go back one more time. Are you an overcomer? By faith, overcoming the world. Two, are you a worker? If you're not, you have a dead faith, just like a body is dead without spirit. Your faith is dead without works. And thirdly, do you love the brethren? Are you loving them? That's a simple, surefire self-examination test. Let's go back to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Now, make no mistake about it. The Bible says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It's not our faith, as Gene said today. It's not what we've done. It's what He's doing by His grace through us. He called us, and faithful is He that calleth, who will also perform it if we will just get out of the way and surrender and let Him have control. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. The 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tested or tempted above that year, but will with the temptation or test also make a way of escape. See, in every one of these cases, it's not what we've done, but it's God's faithfulness. He's faithful. Okay, so number one, examine yourself today. Threefold test. Examine yourself. Number two, let's go back to our text. He said, prove your own selves. This is the second thing that we need to do if we're going to do what Paul said. And if he were to come in person today, or if Jesus were here, so that we could see Him physically, He's here, but so that we could see Him, and He would stand before us, and we would not want Him to find us as we would not want to be. We would want Him to find us as He would want us to be. We would not want Him to find us all divided up and torn up and surrendered to the world and about ready to throw in the towel and giving up and surrendering the faith and throwing it out the window and compromising and conceding. And no, we want to be found faithful. He says, examine yourself. Number two, prove your own self. Prove your own self. Look at it again in verse 5. He says, know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Here's what we're to do. We're number two, to prove ourselves that we are not reprobates. Wow. As I said, that means cast away. That means rejected. That means disapproved. That means not passing the test. Who would want to be that? Unfaithful, can't use, disapprove, reject. Oh no, that's not what we want. We want to be approved. He says, I want you to prove your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you. Let Him show, let Him live. Let Him have free will. Surrender, let him live His life through you. So, and you will do this, except you be a castaway, except you be reprobates. And then He said one more thing. Notice verse 7. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that you should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Paul said, I've been considered to be that. I'm not, but some people have said I am, and maybe if that's what they want to think, that's fine. But He says, I want you, He said, notice, I want you to do that which is honest. honest for the truth. Verse 8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Not against the truth, but for the truth. We want to be transparent. Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, Paul said. But in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and that every good work reprobate. Unapproved. Oh, hey, they have a good profession. They talk the talk. They sing in the choir. They preach behind pulpits. They teach classes. They wear pins that say, I'm a faithful Sunday school worker, or whatever. They profess they know God, but in works they deny Him. Watch what they do. Examine their lives. Work beside them. Listen to their talk. And being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, they are reprobate. You ever known anybody like that? I hope not. I don't want to be. I don't want to know one person like it in my lifetime. I suppose if I thought a bit, I probably could think of somebody that might fit the bill. But I'm not trying to think of anybody. I don't want to know anybody. I don't want to know anyone you would be. I don't want to be that way. Reprobate. I want to be honest. I want to be transparent. I want to be truthful. 2 Timothy 3:8. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. The faith. There's that word again. Reprobate concerning the faith. They gave it up. They sold Christ short. They turned their back. They loved the present world. They got all involved in some kind of a Ponzi scheme. And they thought, boy, this is great. I can rake it in and everything's going fine. And all of a sudden their world falls out from underneath them. Reprobate concerning the truth and cast away. God forbid that that should happen to anyone like you. My message to you today is be faithful. Contend for the faith. Resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Hold to the faith. Examine yourselves. Prove yourselves that you're not reprobate and that you are honest, that the way you appear to be is what you are. If people could see inside of you. Robert Moffat was only a little boy. He came to his pastor one day. Well, actually, it was an old Scots minister, Scottish pastor. He got wearily into the pulpit one Sunday and preached his message, and dejected. He came out of the pulpit and faced one of his deacons who said, Sir, there's something radically wrong with your ministry. You've had only one person saved this year. And that was only a boy. And the word stung the old man. For he felt just as bad about it as the deacon did. He was heartbroken. So few had responded to the gospel message. All that year, he'd been trusting God for the results, but they just weren't there. Well, service was over. People left. One little boy in the back hung around until everybody was gone. The young lad came up and waited beside the preacher and said, Preacher, do you think that if I work real hard and save my money and study and go to school and learn my lessons that I could someday be a preacher like you? Why, the old weary preacher put his gnarled hand on the little boy's head and said, Sonny, I think you could. Yes, I think you could. God bless you, my boy. Well, it was years later when an elderly missionary came back to London from Africa. He had pushed back boundaries of geographical knowledge. He brought savage chiefs under the influence of the gospel. He translated the Word of God into the language of tribes, tongues that had never had it before. His name was Robert Moffat. The only boy that was saved that year. That old preacher's preaching. Well, on a visit to England, Robert told of the need in Africa. And there was a young Scottish lad who heard him. He was a medical student, in fact. And the words pierced his heart. Robert Moffat's words were these: there's a vast plain to the north, where I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever gone. Filled with the vision of what God wanted him to do, this student asked Mr. Moffat, "Would I do for Africa?" And the direction of David Livingston's life had been set forever. Who can tell what one message will do? What one lesson taught? What one song sang for Christ's glory? What one witness, what one track, whose life might be changed? Whose direction? A Robert Moffat, yes. A David Livingston, yeah. Who can tell? Only God. Be faithful. Be steadfast. Contend for the faith. Stand in the faith. Stand for the faith. Contend for it and be faithful even unto death. Father in heaven, I pray that we might do what you've told us to do today, and that's examine our own selves and prove ourselves, whether we be reprobate. Oh God, we don't want to be. We do not have to wait till we get to the judgment seat of Christ to hear the verdict. We can know it now. Are we overcoming the world by faith? Are we working through faith and in faith? Are we loving the brethren? We want to be faithful. We realize, Lord, when we've been faithful, it's not us, it's you that have been faithful in us. All we need to do is surrender. Get out of the way. Let you work through us. But there might be somebody here today that's just been about discouraged enough to quit. They might say, I don't know whether it's worth it all. I see the world having fun, living for pleasure. They seem to have more prosperity than I do. And I've been giving 1/10 of my income, sacrificing. I teach classes and nobody's life seemed to change. There might be somebody really discouraged. Lord, would you just use this message to encourage them to examine themselves, whether they're in the faith, and then to prove themselves that they're not reprobate, but they're honest with the truth and in the truth and for the truth and on the truth. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen.